My name is Hugh Hughes, and today's performance is the first ever Hugh Hughes production, and the title of the show is Floating. Now, I've been working on this show for 13 years, since my grandmother died, and everything that you see here on the stage has been collected over that period. Now, the story is really very simple. It's about a time when Anglesey floated away from the mainland of Wales, drifted out into the Irish Sea, went into the Atlantic, where it actually hit a storm, and the storm blew it up to the Arctic, where it almost got stuck, and then luckily, it got taken by the Gulf Stream, which then swung it right back down until it ended in the exact same position as it started. So we're going to be doing that story, and we've got a map here to help you see the journey of the island. And this map actually has 11 different points, and we've broken down the story into 11 episodes. And that's very much like 11 chapters in a book, if you like.
Today, I'm Philip Fisher, and I'm with Sean Dale Jones from Hoi Polloi, and he's also very kindly brought along his friend, as you heard, Hugh Hughes, who is currently performing, or about to be performing, in Floating, which is touring the UK at the moment, and will be at the Barbican in London in a couple of weeks' time. Sean and Hugh, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Hello, hello.
First of all, Sean, I'm interested to know about the genesis of Floating. You run Hoi Polloi, I know, and you've discovered Hugh and this wonderful show. Do you want to tell us a little bit about its history?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Hoi Polloi has been going for 13 years, and we make a variety of different work. But when we found Hugh, we realised that we actually had on our hands the possibility of creating stage work that we'd never made before, because I was in Wales, in Abergavenny, and I met Hugh, and he was doing a slideshow in one of the galleries there, and he was talking about a beached whale project that he'd done, with some wonderful shots of these beached whales, and he had a little bit of music playing in the background while he was talking about going out to see these beached whales and photographing them. And I was intrigued by him, because he had an innate sense of performance about him, and told some really fantastical stories. So I got chatting to him, and basically he really liked the idea of experimenting with the possibility of making theatre. And what's happened over the last 2 years or so is that we have worked together with Hugh to try to bring his imagination to the stage.
I saw the show at the Pleasance in Edinburgh last year. I know it went to Barrow Street in New York in between, and it's now going to the Barbican and various other places. Do you want to talk a little bit about the tour and the incredible success for Hoi Polloi of this show?
Yeah, it's been a wonderful success for us. We originally opened it in Belfast about 18 months ago, and took it on a tour in the UK before going to Edinburgh. When we took it to the Edinburgh Festival, we were, you know, I suppose, really surprised by the level of interest and the kind of audience reaction to the show. And that has transpired, like you said, you know, it's taken us to New York and into the heart of London. The most pleasing thing, I think, really, is when we made the show, we weren't 100% sure how it would go down. It really was one of those genuine shows that you open with a relative risk factor. But what's actually happened is that the audiences have been really drawn in. I think the reason for that is because in many ways the audience are very involved and almost participants in the show itself. And they seem to really, really enjoy that experience. So I think the experience that the audience have of Floating is an experience that I suppose you don't often get in the theatre. And the other thing, I suppose, is the way that the story has actually worked, you know, universally. I mean, we were really curious to see how the New Yorkers would enjoy it, where Barrow Street is set in a very trendy part of Greenwich Village. How would they take to it? And they really, really enjoyed it. And it's now going to be part of the British Council Showcase in Edinburgh again this year, with the possibility, therefore, of some more international touring with that particular story.
Okay, the show itself features Hugh Hughes and Seanad Rowlands, and I think now it would be good to ask Hugh a question or two, because it's an interesting genre. Do you describe it as theatre?
Well, in many ways, people have been talking about it as kind of mixed media, really, or performance art. Some people call it theatre. In a way, I don't really mind what people call it, because in a way, I think that the reason that I'm there is simply to connect with the audience. And so for me, style is in a sense, irrelevant. But if we are to deconstruct it and try to analyse and try to consider where it might sit as a genre, I wouldn't know where to begin. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, people who make theatre have said it's like theatre, but what they say they don't say it is. So I don't know what the difference is between something being or being like something.
I think that's a very interesting debating point, which might get philosophers going, let alone theatre critics.
Well, we use a lot of philosophy in the show. You know, we use, well, we talk about, you know, if you're making a long journey of 1,000 steps, you need to take the first step. And we're really interested in these ideas of how you begin journeys. Where do journeys lead you to? Do they lead you to the point to which you ultimately wanted to go in the beginning? Or do you set off on a journey and end up somewhere else? Is that important? Why do we move through space and time? Is there a reason for it or not? Bunuel, for example, would say that we move in a way through our imaginations, which are a combination of our fantasies and memories, all jumbled up, and our sense of reality in a way is simply a sum part of all of those things put together. So if you're talking about moving in a more imaginative way, then in a sense you also encounter some rather turbulent journeys, and you know, journeys that will take you places that you never imagined going to. In a way, I suppose what I'm trying to say is that things are both controllable and uncontrollable, and I think that what we do when we make work in the theatre with Hoi Polloi, now me and Sean Ed, and we've made a new show with Al Ed, we are trying our best, and I think that we don't always know what we're doing.
Do you want to talk about this new show with Sean Ed and Al Ed?
Oh, brilliant, yeah. Well, actually, the show, Sean Ed was involved a little bit, but on stage it's just me and Al Ed, and Al Ed's a friend of mine from Llangefni, and he plays the music. He does the guitar, and he got a banjo, and he's also got the piano, keyboard, and he's really, really good, and, you know, he used to play in a band. He's never done theatre before, and we made a show called Story of a Rabbit, but it's actually two stories. There are two stories. One story is Story of a Rabbit, and the other story is really the story of my father. And I suppose what's going on in that piece is I am working with narrative. So I'm telling two stories simultaneously, and as the piece goes on, the two stories collide. And I won't tell you too much what happens, because obviously they'll be giving it all away. But in a way, what I'm doing is working with the idea of what is story. And looking at the stories from all kinds of different angles and perspectives, and how stories merge together and become something else, really.
And when will we have the opportunity to see this show?
Well, that show's going to the Edinburgh Fest.
This year, 2007.
Yeah. So it's going to be playing August the 1st to August 27th in Pleasance 2. So anyone who saw Floating, it's in the same place. So in a way, when the marketing team at Hoi Polloi said, where do you think we should do the show? For me, it was obvious. You do it in the same place in case people want, so people know where I am. So also it's on the same time. So what I hope is that people won't think they're coming to the same show that they came to last year. But for me, it's clear that it's a different show, because I got Al Ed in this one and I got Sean Ed in the other one. So all I need to do is look who's on stage, then I know which show I'm in. Because I've been going to be doing Floating up there as well in the last week. So in the last week, I'm going to be doing the two shows.
Simultaneously?
But almost, because I got like a 2:30 start with Floating and then run across and do a 5:30 show with Rabbit.
One of the attractions of Floating was your incredible array of props. I wouldn't say they were necessarily all the most high-tech props I've ever seen, but they must have taken a long time to put together. Was that a major part of the creation of the piece?
It really was. I mean, we worked on this show. I really worked on this show for 13 years. And I mean, I didn't know that until I'd made it. But when I look back on what I was doing, it was actually, the whole show in a way is dedicated to my grandmother, who died 13 years ago. And a lot of the props have been kind of gathered over that period, you know, some of them from her house when we packed it up after she passed away, some of it from, you know, the Llangefni primary school where I come from. They were doing a sort out, and I got an overhead projector from there, for example. But on the Arts Council's funding scheme, I also got an Apple Mac computer, which is the newest piece of kit on the stage. And what a lot of people like is the fact that some of my technologies is new and some of it's really old. You know, we go from slide projectors right up to the fancy video projector that a friend of mine, Gethin, made films for. You know, so, and we use Super 8 films and we use video, digital. So we're really spanning across the time. But there's a lot of power in all these objects. And actually, Story of a Rabbit uses a lot of objects as well.
Okay, switch back to Sean Dale Jones now. Sean, do you want to tell me about your background?
Sure. My journey has been, I went to the University of East Anglia to study drama and film, and after that degree was completed, I went to the Lecoq School in Paris for a couple of years in the early 90s, and very soon after that decided to set up Hoi Polloi as a company, initially working with graduates from the Lecoq School, but over the last 13 years that group has changed and people have come and gone. But essentially, the core group is still very much the same, and so yeah. So we've worked together a lot, and I think evolved our own way of telling stories in the theatre. Evolved our own kind of theatrical language, really. And I play a variety of different roles in the company, from writing to directing to performing. So looking at theatre from all kinds of different angles, really.
Do you want to tell us about some of the highlights of the last dozen or so years?
Yeah, sure. I suppose there was a period when we did a lot of international touring, and that was very exciting. We had a successful show called Living Like Victor, and we took it to the Philippines, and we took it over to the States, all the way from the East Coast over to Minneapolis and Denver. That was very exciting, and across Europe, you know, from the Czech Republic to Sweden to Germany to Brussels to Paris. And I think the international touring is a really exciting part of the company's life, because I suppose you find audiences that you don't normally meet here at home. So the response to the show is always going to be different. And I think that's the most exciting thing, is putting work in front of audiences and seeing how different audiences react. And also we made a show called My Uncle Ali, which we're going to be remounting very soon, which was our first ever family show, which was based on the life and work of Edward Lear. And that was enormously exciting, because we managed to get children aged 7 or 8 into the audience, and people right up to the age of kind of 80, 90 in the audience, and that wide kind of age range all seemed to enjoy the show. And we found that really, really exciting, that you could make something that would touch such a broad age range.
What about style? Because Lecoq is broadly sort of mime-based and physical theatre. Floating could hardly be wordier if it tried. Is there a deliberate policy?
No, not in so far as a strict style. But I think what we are always interested in is this collision between the imagination and reality. You know, and it really, I mean, you know, was it Louis Bunuel says our imaginations and our dreams are forever colliding with our realities, and so we always end up transforming our lies into truths. And I think as a company, we're fascinated by this idea about how we actually experience and remember what really happened, what reality is really like, and what we bring in to any one situation, so that the struggle for us to communicate one to another can be very complex because of the way that we understand the way things are, I suppose. And I think we're always trying to unpick that and really enjoy the idea of pushing things into imaginative realms. And I think underneath that as well is a lot of humour, a lot of recognition about how difficult things can be. But the laughter, I think, is about liberating us from our everyday. And I think through laughter you somehow become more open to possibilities.
Certainly Floating has a lot of laughter in it, which was one of the attractions.
Yeah.
I think possibly across the hue now. What does it mean to you to be playing at the Barbican in London?
Well, I mean, it's extraordinary, really. I mean, absolutely, you know, it's enormous. I mean, I'd always known the Barbican, you know, as a photographer, you know, great kind of, you know, photography, Eve Arnold exhibition. I remember travelling all the way down to London to see it. And then some people say to me, you must be overjoyed, and I really am. What it means to me, it was October 2004, I met Sean from Hoi Polloi, and before then, I'd never thought of theatre, really, no, honestly, never really, you know, been there, I'd seen a production of Oliver Twist when I was a kid, but I hadn't really ever really been, you know, a theatre goer. So in a way, it's a big surprise. Like I said about that journey, I don't know which part of the journey I'm on, but I'm on it, and I'm loving it. It's really, you know, it's an honour, really is.
What does your Welsh identity mean to you?
That's a really brilliant question, because I think a lot of floating is about, the places we come from. And I talk about the idea that maybe the places that we come from will always have a hand in shaping who we are. And I suppose I'm beginning to get to grips with what identity is. What it means to me now is it's a well of fascination, really. When I was in New York, it was brilliant, because obviously I was very far from home, and when you're far from home and you're in another country, I suppose you see yourself in a different light, you hear your voice differently, etc. I met two Welsh gentlemen after the show. They'd come to see the show, and when they stayed behind in the theatre to say hello, I knew straight away before they opened their mouths that they were Welsh. And there was something about the way they looked. Their faces looked like they came from the mountains. You know, their lines that were shooting over their foreheads were like rivers and valleys, and their faces looked like rocks somehow, like they were somehow fossilized by the mountains of Wales. And when their voices came out, these deep voices and their dark eyes, this Celtic gaze came out, and I thought, well, you know, this is extraordinary because I can see it. And that's extraordinary. We can see sometimes, can't we, where people come from. And those things fascinate me. I don't know what to do with it, but I like seeing it.
Sean, we've heard about floating and the rabbits. What else does Hoi Polloi have up its sleeve, if you'll pardon the rabbit analogy?
Sure. We are going to make a show called The Doubtful Guest. That's the next main project we have. And that's a piece based on a title by a American writer-illustrator called Edward Gorey. And it's a wonderful piece of illustration and story about a very strange creature who arrives in a strict house in the middle of the night and basically misbehaves. And the people who the house he's moved into have no idea how to handle him. In a way, it's a story of adolescence. It's a story of how difficult it is to control things and the effect that the uncontrollable has on the other parties who desperately want to control the uncontrollable. And we're going to be making that with the Palace Watford and the Theatre Royal in Plymouth, and that'll be touring at the beginning of next year, and hopefully throughout the year. So that's the next main ensemble show. And as I said, we will also remount the My Uncle Arlie show, which is this wonderful family show based on Edward Lear.
Okay, Sean and Hugh, thank you very much indeed. That's been very enlightening.
That's brilliant. Thank you.